Welcome, everybody. Here I am. I'm in my new studio. I'm live. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So, you might hear it's a little airy in here. I got nothing in here. It's empty. This is the upstairs of my house. I gotta tell you, I love my house. It is amazing. I have a picture that I've been sharing. I'm working on a video to show you guys everything. In fact, Nishra and I are going to make a vlog on basically living in out in the country. We're going to have chickens. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to break down and give you guys a little insight as to what I have here at my house. And I'm excited. It's kind of like the Amic. It's so much echo, huh? So there's not much I can do about the echo, guys, because this is my new spot and it's empty in the room. So bear with me. I'm going to be, I don't even have my stuff yet. It's still being shipped. I think it's like a couple more weeks or whatever. But it'll be here soon. And I have a bunch of sound foam stuff, a carpet, you know, something I could do. Maybe I could put up some blankets or something. Or get some moving blankets. I should probably go do that. I'll work on it. Bear with me. Keep in mind, I am... okay. So some people are hearing good sound. That's good. I don't know if you notice, I got a... I found one of these. And now I don't have to worry about popping. Supposedly I was popping a bunch that... anyway, doesn't matter. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so good to be back. So Friday, it was move-in. I was traveling. It was a long day. I couldn't hang. Today is actually my anniversary. 6 years. It's amazing. And I spent the day... We have a forest on next to a river. I got a lot. You know what? I'm just going to tell you guys. You know, so the first subject I'm going to talk about is called petrichor. Okay, now if you don't know what this is, it's the smell of rain. Okay, petrichor. It's a beautiful word. I actually really enjoy the word petrichor. And the thought of what it is, the smell of rain, it's like that fresh smell of rain. It's really like the ground, it's earth. You're like smelling a moistened earth. Like it gets wet and releases its smell. It smells amazing. And I've been getting that a lot lately because it's been raining here. And so my house is here, right? And I have a river that goes along it. In fact, right outside this window that you can't see it is this view. This is my river, okay? I tweeted, I said, this is my backyard. In fact, in between this window and that shot is my sauna. I have a sauna. I have a wood fire. It's a wood-fired sauna, not electric. So I actually have to light a fire. Amazing. I have a wood-fired hot tub. That's right. I've got myself a hot tub. I've got a chicken coop, a greenhouse. I have a root cellar. I have it's like a 4-room shed, okay? And also, my river basically goes around my house. So looking this way is this, and then it cuts to the left and around my house. So looking out of my house this way, I actually see the river again. So I got my own private river. It is beautiful. I mean, I walking around. So today, I'm walking into the forest, right, with Nishra. And there is blueberry bushes everywhere. No joke. Blueberries as far as the eye can see. I'm talking like... 100 plants, separate bushes of blueberries. And we were deep into the forest And there was just blueberries all over the place. Like, I can't believe how many blueberries there were. That's out in the forest. Not to mention, let's see. All right, so I got hazelnuts on this side of the property. I've got two cherry trees right in the front. I've got a blackberry bush right that's pretty much taken over, actually, because blackberries kind of go nuts, they take over. So I got blackberries. Then I got 10 plants of red currant, and there's a raspberry plant actually that we just found yesterday. I have four different types of apple trees. I got a citrus apple, and the other three, I'm not sure what they are, but I know one of them's a citrus apple. All of them are delicious apples. None of them are sour. They're all sweet and just like delicious apples. Okay, then what else do I got? I got rhubarb. I got oregano. Grapes. I've got grapes. I think, am I missing anything? I don't know. I might have missed something, but okay, so I'm just kind of excited about my property. I'm super hyped about it. Yes, someone said I'm showing off. You know what it is? I'm excited, and also maybe I am showing off a little bit because I mean I'm just excited and hyped. I have video of us getting here for the first time and like being like, this is ours now. So we're gonna show that video. We're basically making just basically talking about getting here and what this place is. Today we did a video going out into the forest and exploring the forest for the first time. I think I just keep talking about blueberries. But I want to bring it back to Petrichor. So, because it's rained a lot since I've been here, and there's a smell here that is just amazing. It smells incredible. And it is the scent of rain. So, Petrichor, I have a just the wiki up right now. It's the earthy scent produced when rain falls on dry soil. The word is constructed from Greek petra, or rock, petros, stone, and ichor, which is the fluid that flows in the veins of the gods. Very cool. I love that. So long before the phenomenon received its name in 1964, it had been noticed and discussed in scientific circles. On the 17th of April, 1891, a brief note on the phenomenon by Thomas Lamb Philipson, Phipson, appeared in the Chemical News. It was republished in its entirety a month later in the Scientific American, in which he wrote, "This subject, with which I was occupied more than 25 years ago, appears from the paragraph in the late number of the Chemical News to have recently attracted the attention of Professor Barthelot and Andre, Monsieur G. Andre, to be more precise." Phipson was referring to a short paper read by Barthelot and Andre at the meeting of the French Academy de Sciences and the 23rd of April in 1891, and printed in volume 112 of Comte's Rendu, entitled Sur l'odeur propre de la terre, on the clean smell of the earth. I love that. On the clean smell of the earth. Phipson continues, "I find, on referring to my old notes, which are dated in 1865, that it is doubtful whether I have published the results of these observations, and as distinguished chemists I have just named have not quite solved the problem. I hasten to give the results I obtained so long ago." He then theorized that the odor was due to the presence of organic substances closely related to the essential oils of plants, and that these substances consist of the fragrance emitted by thousands of flowers, absorbed into the pores of the soil and only released when displaced by rain. After attempts to isolate it, he found that appeared to be very similar to, if not identical to, bromocedrin derived from the essence of cedar. So in 1964, the phenomenon was first scientifically described in a March 1964 paper by Australian researchers Isabel Baer and Dick Thompson. Published in the journal Nature, Thomas coined the term petrichor to refer to what had previously been known as agrilicious odor. I love that, agrilicious odor. In the article, the authors described how the smell derives from an oil exuded from plants, certain plants, during dry periods, whereupon it is absorbed by clay-based soils and rocks. During rain, the oil is released into the air along with another compound, geosmin, a metabolic byproduct, certain of actinobacteria, which is emitted by wet soil, producing the distinctive scent. Ozone may also be present there if there is lightning. In a follow-up paper, Baer and Thompson showed that the oil slows seed germination and early plant growth. It's also interesting to note, actually, geosmin is very, very noticeable to the human nose. We can detect geosmin in the air. I don't remember the exact like parts per million, but just a tiny little fraction of a little bit of the stuff in the air, we can smell it. We're very, very attuned to that smell. And I mean, we are of Earth, so it's interesting. And I'll tell you right now, it smells amazing here. And I'm like out in the middle of nowhere too. I'm like in the boonies and I'm okay with it because I got my wife, I got this beautiful property. I'm on a well, okay? My well goes down like 170 feet or something to delicious water. It's fresh. I mean, I have a river right next to me, as I showed you guys. And if you missed it, this is literally my backyard. I can look out the window and I see this. I've got a field of grass. It's like I've got a pretty decent sized yard. I'd say I have about 2.5 acres, and it's, gosh, it's beautiful. I love it. And it rains. It rains on and off, but man, does that smell amazing. And it's cool to know the name of that smell, petrichor. All right, so I want to talk about Babylon Bee for a second. Okay. So the women's soccer team, right, got beat by Sweden. And I was in Sweden when it happened. And they were all celebrating like, oh, America lost. And I'm like, eh. I don't even think they care about soccer anymore. Or, you know, it's football it's football out there. So they lost again. All right. They lost to Canada. And I guess they haven't lost to Canada in over 20 years. So these women are losing like nonstop. And it's because I don't even think they care about playing anymore. I think they care more about protesting. There's a Washington Post article that I have that's trying to blame it on the coach. Oh yeah, sure, it's the coach's fault. They're not used to his coaching style, so they can't handle it. I don't know. I have it up. I probably won't read it because it's ridiculous. But I love Babylon Bee because they came out with Canada politely apologizes for beating the U.S. women's soccer team. Listen, no hard feelings, eh? I mean, I love Babylon Bee. I mean, there's more too. And they had this one too, inspiring the U.S. women's soccer team to boycott scoring goals until racism is defeated. Now, this was July 21st. This was after they lost to Sweden. And it's like, maybe that's what they're going for. I mean, it's kind of brutal. So they lost to Canada. It was 1-0. Here's Canada celebrating with the United States women. Look, I mean, I love America. I want America to win. I want them to get all the gold, every gold. Like I'm rooting for America, but for some reason I don't know. There's something about watching this team lose now is kind of satisfying. I hate to say it because I'm happy when Americans win and I'm bummed that they didn't win. I feel like I heard we won gold in, I don't care about the Olympics. Let me just insert that. I don't really watch the Olympics or root at all. But if I'm watching it, I'm going to root for America. But anyway, I guess we won something in Olympics when we won gold. But anyway, watching these women lose, it's like, do I really care that they lost? No, I don't. Because they've been trying to be, they're not athletes anymore. They're activists, and they're leaning way too much into the activists and not into the athletes, and holding up to they've won two World Cups, they've won gold last Olympics. Like, what happened? Are they getting old? Did they stop caring anymore? I don't know. The United States women national soccer team suffered its first loss to Canada in 20 years Monday morning. The loss took the Americans out of the gold medal contention at the Tokyo Olympics. They will play Australia for the bronze medal. Canada, who won back-to-back bronze medals, will take on Sweden for first place in the tournament. Both squads will be after their first ever gold medal in women's soccer. Sweden made the gold medal match 5 years ago in Rio de Janeiro, but it came up short against Germany. The Swedes produced their fifth victory in five games in the second semifinal against Australia, thanks to an early goal in the second half. Canada 1, United States 0. And Canada, so this was just a video of them, of take of them. It was they won on a penalty shot, which, it is what it is. Let's see, they were. Yeah, I don't really care about the soccer part of this. That's like, or football, whatever, wherever you're at. If you call it football or soccer, in America we call it soccer. We got so I. I have to show you this Washington Post article because it's kind of like they had to like somehow make it about men. So the men's team actually did really well in a different. They won a certain. Here's them celebrating. Let's see. They won the Gold Cup final in Las Vegas recently. Hours apart, continents apart. Both 1-0 scores, but the men's team won and the women's team lost. Now this goes on to talk about how, cool the men's team, but the women's team, they have a new coach and he basically didn't know how to coach them right, and they had a veteran team of all these good players, but somehow the coach it's co the coach's fault. Yeah, where does it say? Oh, I can't find the spot. It's okay. It's a long article, and I don't really care about it. So, these women are getting basically. This is from Breitbart. Disgraceful and ungrateful US women's soccer team blasted for woke protests. Now, this is just a bunch of tweets of people complaining about how they suck now and all they do is just protest and kneel for the national anthem and not even. I mean, I'm sorry. Look at this woman's face. She looks smug. She looks smug every time I see her talking about, like, she basically has this attitude of I'm better than you because I'm protesting and you're not. Are you not protesting? Oh, well, you're a pleb then. I'm so sick of hearing about these protester athlete I don't know. They're not athletes anymore. They're activists. Like LeBron James, like holding the Malcolm X book, like, man, he was a good man. Like this stuff in this book, he's just really smart and had a lot of good things to say, And he really made a big difference in a lot of people's lives. And it's like, bro, you sound like someone who's doing a book report who didn't read the book and is trying to come up with answers to the teacher who is grading you in front of the class. You didn't read the book, man. You're an activist or you're being paid. I mean, I feel like these girls, they stop caring about soccer. Oh, you know what? I gotta find the G Prime. You guys know who G Prime is? This guy is hilarious. I gotta go to his page because I saw this And I freaking died. I was very rarely do I laugh out loud, like from reading news articles, but I saw this. So this is Sweden beating him in the background, getting that kick, making the goal. She's kneeling, they're celebrating, and she's just saying, "I deserve more money." So like this look on her face, he like nails it. The vibe that she has, she exudes this like, "I'm better than you. I deserve, like, I'm just better than you," by saying that. It's so ridiculous. And this guy, he's hilarious. He goes by G Prime 85. Shout out to George. I'm gonna have him on my show. We've been chatting. He's fantastic. He's does incredible art. And yeah, if you don't know him, you should check him out because he's hilarious. Anyway, so I'm done talking about that. There's some other stuff on his page that is ridiculous that I probably should talk about, but I probably get in trouble. Anyway, it's just some of this stuff is just ridiculous, man. These people are, they think that I care about their opinion, right? Or they think that just because they are good at a sport means that they are somehow more well-versed in subjects that they have no clue what they're talking about, right? They're just told, "Oh, you're a celebrity now. You should use your status to like convince people to, go your way or like have your opinion." It just reminds me of The Last Dance. I don't know if you've seen this. It's a documentary basically about Michael Jordan and the Bulls in Chicago up to the last season that they were all the Dream Team was together. Amazing series. I grew up in Chicago, so it kind of like hit home. I grew up watching the Bulls. I watched some of the games that they were talking about. Really awesome. But in a scene in the early 90s, Michael Jordan was approached by Democrats and they were saying like, "Hey, here's this. He's another black Democrat. Like, you should say, hey, people vote for him because he's black." And Michael Jordan was like, "No, like what? That's ridiculous. Like I'm not a politician. Like I'm staying out of it. Like leave me out of that. Republicans buy shoes too." That's his quote directly. And it's like, oh, amazing. 'Cause he's like, "I'm focused on the game. I'm not a politician. I don't know who this dude is. I'm not gonna vote. I'm not gonna tell people that look up to me to vote for him just because he's some, a black man." Like that's ridiculous. Like that's silly. And good riddance, because that's what he should do. He's focusing on the game. He was the best. Michael Jordan is the best basketball player. There, I said it. You know now that that's how I feel. Fight me. I don't care. Michael Jordan, top. Everyone else below him. Michael Jordan was way up on top. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked because it doesn't matter. He focused on the game. He focused on being the best athlete, period. That was all he lived just to win. That was his sole purpose. And these people are losing it. They're like, whatever, man, I don't care. Now, LeBron James's movie is bombing, and everyone's like, "Ah, it's racist if you don't like it." Or maybe it just sucks. Maybe it's just a terrible movie. All right, let's talk about Neanderthals. I found this cool article today about 60,000-year-old artwork. No joke, 60,000 years. It's Neanderthals in Spain. Study confirms ancient Spanish cave art was made by Neanderthals. Long perceived to have been unsophisticated and brutish, the Neanderthals really did paint stalagmites, excuse me, in a Spanish cave more than 60,000 years ago, according to a study published on Monday. The issue had roiled the paleoarchaeology community ever since the publication of a 2018 paper attributing red, I don't know how to say this, if it's ochre or usher. I'm gonna go with ochre, pigment found in the stalagmitic dome of the Cuerva de Ardales to our extinct cousin species. The dating suggests that the art was at least 64,800 years old, made at a time when modern humans did not inhabit the continent. But the finding was contentious, and a scientific article said that perhaps these pigments were a natural thing, a result of iron oxide flow. Francisco de Errico, a co-author of a new paper in the journal PNA, told AFP, "The new analysis reveals the composition and placement of the pigments were not consistent with natural processes. Instead, the pigments were applied through splattering and blowing. What's more, their textures did not match natural samples taken from the caves, suggesting the pigment came from an external source. More detailed dating showed that the pigment were applied at different points in time, separated by more than 10,000 years. This supports the hypothesis that the Neanderthals came on several occasions over several thousand years to mark the cave with pigments," said D'Arco of the University of Bordeaux. "It is difficult to compare the Neanderthal art to wall paintings made by prehistoric modern humans, such as those found in the Chevet-Pont d'Arc cave in France more than 30,000 years ago. But the new findings add to increasing evidence that Neanderthals, whose lineage went extinct around 40,000 years ago, were not the boorish relatives of Homo sapiens they were long portrayed to be." The team wrote that the pigments are not art in the narrow sense of the word, but rather the result of graphic behaviors intent on perpetuating the symbolic significance of a space. Maybe the cave was holy to them or something. The cave formations played a fundamental role in the symbolic systems of some Neanderthal communities, though what those symbols meant remain a mystery for now. And it makes sense. I mean, if they felt like this cave was somehow holy, or someone in chat just said they were bored, yeah, maybe they were bored. You know, maybe that this was just some sort of pilgrimage that, you know, that to become an adult, you know, you'd have to go and like mix pigment from, you know, the wild and go to the cave as a pilgrimage and I don't know, splatter it on the wall as like your mark on the world. Who knows, right? But the more I looked into this cave, it's kind of dope, actually. Here's the outside of it. The Cave of Ardales, known as the Cave of Doña Trinidad Grund. It's a cave located in the Andalusian town of Ardales in Spain. It is a prehistoric site with Paleolithic wall art. Well, as we've seen, it's kind of, well, I don't know. Did I show you guys? I did show it, right? It's this, the stalagmites that have like this different, you can kind of see it. Here we go. This like colored ink on it that was blown or splattered on there. Interesting. Yeah, it's kind of dope. It was discovered in 1821 when an earthquake moved the sediments and left the current entrance to the cave free. 2 years later, two reels were already charged for the entrance of the cave, creating what would be the first visible cave in Spain. It was Pascual Madoz who announced in 1845 the value of the cave in his Geographical and Statistical Dictionary of Spain. The bourgeois Trinidad Grund bought the cave in 1852, complementing the visit to its spa located in the nearby municipality of Caratraca. Grund created a large staircase to facilitate access from the entrance to the deeper level. Even flamenco shows were held inside for the Malaga and Seville aristocracy. So a bunch of rich people went in there and were dancing flamenco back in the day. It's kind of hilarious. But yeah, very cool. Turns out that art was, you know, created 60,000 years ago by Neanderthals. They were the first artisans of, well, that we know of, right? Supposedly 60,000 years. Pretty cool, actually. And I would like to go one day. I want to go. Wouldn't you want to go see that for yourself? To know that 60,000 years ago, an extinct ancestor of ours did that, blew a bunch of paint on the wall. Who knows how they actually did that? But all right, let's see. I'm gonna get into some super chats. It's great to see you guys. Good to be back. I miss it. My studio has absolutely nothing in it right now. As you can see, it's very barren. I am up on the second floor, and this is my basically on the other side of the, is the roof. But I love these beams. I have these wooden beams. They go all the way down, and you can kind of see it. You know how they are here, which they just continue all the way down to the end. It's great. Man, I love my house. All right, let me get to the first super chats because I'm sure YouTube deleted a couple. Any super chat that comes in before I actually go live gets removed because it kind of like resets. So if you super chat me before I even am live, first and foremost, thank you. And just so you know, that's what happens. Let me just find. Here we go. Mark Robertshaw says, "F Blizzos." I like how you kind of brought Blizzard and Bezos together to just. I see what you're saying. For those who don't know, it's Bezos and Blizzard. F Blizzos. Robert Weil says, "Hey Adam, can't wait for you to get a P.O. box. I have two special gifts for you. One I had specially made for you. Have a blessed night and chat." Thank you, Robert. Yeah, P.O. box is coming soon. Just not very high on my priority list. Robert Shaw says, "My mother has been telling us to get the redacted because of the spread, and I'm half tempted to because if I cark it, what does that mean? Cark it. Cark. I can at least get a I told you so. What does that mean? Is that some weird Australian slang? Did I just swear in Australian?" I've never heard that before. I kick the bucket. Is that kind of like what it means? Croak. Robshaw again says, "I love our government and military. I'm happy." Yes. I think that's sarcasm. He goes, "We don't need freedom. It gets in the way." Oh man, I feel bad for Australia because they are, man, it's going crazy right now. It's like authoritarianville. Gerald says, "What do you think about the Chris Chan arrest?" I think it's he, she. I don't know really much about it. I saw a couple things being posted today. I guess he like raped his mother or something, which is disgusting. And like he should go. He should be arrested. I don't really know much about it. From what I know, it's gross. And I'm not a big fan. Aiton says, "This donation is for the frame for the white puzzle. Welcome to your new home." Thank you, Aiton. For those who don't know, I got a, is it 1,000 pieces? It's a 1,000 piece all white puzzle. It's only like this big. It's small. These pieces are like itty bitty tiny white pieces. And I don't know if it's Aiton or Eaton. Either way, created an algorithm on a computer to help sort the pieces and solve it for him. Very cool. I actually have the like the algorithm. He wrote it down on a piece of paper so I can see how he did the math. It's very interesting. Mavis says, "Rewatch the first Blade Runner. It's set in 2019. So disappointed we don't have flying cars. Instead, we waste time fighting on Twitter." Face palm. Yeah, I know exactly. 29. You know, I never saw the first Blade Runner. I tried to watch it, but I didn't watch it when it first came out. I tried watching it in like the 2000s and the aughts, and it was just so slow. I couldn't get past the scene where he's like trying to interview the girl, or I don't know. It's pretty early on in the movie, but I was like, I couldn't even make believe I made it that far. Robert Shaw says, "Hi, my name is Adam Krigler, and I identify as mainstream media. Therefore, I ask YouTube to remove restrictions on any subject because I'm mainstream." There we go. Maybe that will work. Probably not. Robert Weil says, "I don't have the money, but I spent a lot of time trying to come up with something. I hope you like it. So let me know When I can send it to you, be blessed. Right on, I will, Robert. Thank you. I appreciate that. Robert Shaw said, moist earth. Yeah, I get the earth wet. Ooh, baby. Down boy, down boy. Mark G says, Adam obviously died and went to heaven and is streaming from there or moved to a northern MS, what is that? Mountain? MST, is that Mountain Time? I don't know what that stands for, but state. A northern state. Yeah, you'll find out soon. Once the vlog comes out, I'm gonna tell everybody where I'm living. So eventually you shall see. Yethna says, how many acres you got? Was your place under 500K? I mean, do you talk about this kind of stuff? I'm about 2.5 acres and I'm not at liberty to talk about the money. Robert Shaw says, does he barf a lot? I'll see myself out. What was I talking about? Blues, thank you for that $5. Appreciate that. Flame Wars says, Flame Wars, the cancel culture card game, is now for sale on Indiegogo. Banned from using social media? Why not get banned from a card game too? Flame Wars. I added that last Flame Wars. Robert Shaw says, I recommend you do a quality test on your river before taking any water from it. You never know what's upstream, bro. Safety first and get a water tank. Well, I don't get water from the river. I get it from my well, which is like almost 200 feet down into the ground. Actually, I think it's more. I'm not sure exactly. But I don't get my water from the river. But it's freaking nice. It's so clear. It's such a clear river. And it's really like a strong current. Allison says, welcome to the joy of rural living. Thank you. I am very, very happy. I'm going to get chickens. I'm going to build an epic, epic garden. God, I love it. I love it. Robert Shaw says, at least America wins gold in shooting. Did they? That's cool. Again, I don't pay attention. I mean, I've been exploring my property and fixing things and just, I love my house. You guys will see it soon enough. I'm going to start a vlog. And we're going to basically document everything we do. Fixing things, additions. I have some renovation plans. And I know how to do literally everything. I'll probably hire an electrician to do like the electrical stuff. Because I won't be able to do it up to code. Because I'm not an electrician. So, you know, certain things I can't do myself. But, I mean, I probably could do it because I know how. But I don't know. I'd rather, you know, keep it up to snuff. Robert Shaw says, Australia better win. Go woke, get stomped. Yeah, that's basically what happened. Fantastic Mr. Knox says, honestly, if anyone hates their country, which has given them an opportunity to succeed, then they're free to leave for another country. Boom. I'm blotting out the screen with my glow. Thank you, Darth. Robert Shaw says, if you do leave, you don't come here, please. Right. Australia has enough problems as it is. Brett says, Adam, you better have a show from the backyard. You know, for those who missed my backyard, this is the river from my backyard. All right. Now, this river actually wraps around my house. And it's incredible. So you can actually, I can sit in my sauna and look out the window and see that view. So I'm actually, from where I'm standing right there, I'm actually standing on the dock. Well, it's not really a dock. It's just kind of like the patio of my sauna. And I'm just looking up the river. Oh, it's beautiful. I love my house. Robert Shaw says, I will use this platform for insert here. Reasons. Yeah, all right. Idiot's Guide Production says, interview Tom Roswell of Survive the Jive. I don't know who that is, but I will check him out after the show. Khalid, thank you for that super chat. Appreciate you. Sejong says, congrats on the new digs, Adam and Nish. Happy for you too. When is your stuff coming? Let's all crush it for Krigger and roll me a 14. Ooh, I'm sorry. I don't have a dice, Sejong, but I will roll it for you when I do find it. I think I left it in the RV. Ooh, so it might be a little while. I think my stuff gets here in like 2 weeks. Something like that. Sebastian says, sorry I missed the show. Currently limping my car to the shop. Something's wrong with the old girl. Sending love as always. Well, thank you. I hope things are not too expensive to fix. All right. Robert Shaw says, Neanderthal still live on in our DNA. All right, there you go. Robert Shaw says, Blizzard and Bezos are the same trash, so same bin. Well, F them both, right? Redoubt Production says, hey, Adam, just got word the venue for an event I really want to attend will mandate facial coverings regardless of redacted status. $200 gone for me. Guess I should just go get used to the division, huh? Man, that's so stupid. I have a lot to say about this subject. I'm so sick of talking about it. And also, YouTube gives me strikes whenever I give my opinion on the matter. That sucks, though, for you, bud. Chuck Norris Guns Club says, how much drugs would you spend on money if you were high to get paid? You gotta rearrange. Funny. Mazo says, Castle Krigler or Chateau Krigler? Ooh, Chateau Krigler. I like that a lot. Castle Krigler is also pretty good. We were thinking maybe Rooted River, but we don't have a name for the house itself. Because I feel like that's the name of the river. There's like trees growing out of it. This river is incredible. You guys just saw one view. There's like, I have my own bridge over the river into my forest. Like, and the forest is massive. I can't get over how amazing my spot is. Martin says, FedEx employees are stealing Xboxes and PS5s and ammo and jewelry. FedEx is legitimately the biggest organized crime syndicate in the world. F you, FedEx. Wow. Is that happening, really? That's crazy. And also not really surprising. Robert Shaw says, are you tired of being in lockdown? Then you need Krigler Coffee, Redacted Blend. It will help you push through the loneliness of lockdown. Redacted Blend. That's kind of fun. Georgie says, did you see this smear piece against Tim? It's from the Daily Beast. You know, I was actually, whenever I pop into YouTube, I see the quartering stuff. And I guess he just did that. And I was like, what is this? And I started watching it. I think I have to do a breakdown on it. Because I've been friends with Tim for about 7 years. And I've lived with him multiple times throughout the years. I know Tim probably more than anyone else on the internet, just simply put. And a lot of the stuff in the Daily Beast article, I can debunk myself. Like, I know it's so filled with such BS. It was too late for me to do something today about it because it's really long, and I just figured it out. But I'm probably gonna do a segment on it tomorrow because it's ridiculous. And Tim Pool does not deserve the poop being thrown at him from the Daily Beast. So I think I'm gonna rip apart Daily Beast tomorrow because it is ridiculous. Ooh, Commodore's Cabin. I like that, VJ. That's nice. Commodore's Cabin. That's nice. That Simple Note says, if you're interested in learning about Chris Chan's history, you can watch GB's 2 hour and 22 minute video on him. No, I'm good. I want to keep that 2 hours to myself. 2 hour, 22 minutes? Mm-mm. I honestly don't care about Chris Chan at all. Zero. I have zero interest to care about that person. He sounds like he's trash and belongs in prison. Robert Shaw says, blueberries are trash. Do you... Do you have any black bears? I don't think I have black bears here. But how dare you say blueberries are trash? They're amazing. Fantastic Mr. Knox says, I hope the Neanderthal art lasts for another 10,000 years. I love history. Do more history-related stories if given the chance. I mean, I love it. I love it. I want more of it. I'm gonna keep doing this kind of stuff because I really, you know, I want more of this kind of stuff, right? Gotta love it. Georgie says, also, not much time to watch shows. I missed a bunch of yours. What are your future plans in YouTube? Well, I'm starting a new channel. It's gonna be a vlog with me and Nish together. We're gonna be filming our exploits here on our property, picking berries, planting gardens, living rural living, getting chickens, exploring the forest, swimming, taking a sauna, starting a fire, literally just living at, out on and we're gonna be documenting it all. So that's gonna be a vlog that we're gonna be putting together soon, and that'll be the big reveal as where we actually moved. Mark G says, and I'm gonna continue doing my show, by the way. You know, I'm gonna still do my show. I really want to do more interviews. I really miss doing interviews. I love talking to people and just hearing about their side of things. I miss that. I love that a lot. Mark G says, Garden of Eden vlog because your name is Adam. Yeah, but it's not just me though, you know? Mark Robershaw says, and he has apple trees. It's true. I do have apple trees. Four different kinds of apples. Mark Robershaw says, what's on that fence that makes Tim like it? Being in the middle ground. What are you talking about? Psy Media says, love you, Adam. What do you think about coronal mass ejections? Well, first off, thank you. I love you too. And what do I think about them? I hope they don't hit us. Right? I mean, we're lucky that we haven't gotten blasted by a direct hit that could wipe us out, right? I mean, we're pretty lucky. Robshaw says, up and Adam. You know how many times I've heard that in my life. Readout says, oh, a happier note, got to finally camp out under the stars in Civil War clothing, no less. Came back sore, but was awesome, informative, and refreshing. Oh, that's cool. Darth asks, is the vlog going to be on this channel or a new one? I think I'm going to make a new channel. Yeah, it'll be a new channel just for that. And yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so when I was in high school, I went to high school out in Philadelphia, outskirts of Philadelphia in northwest suburbs. And in school, we went to a bunch of different like Civil War spots. It was really cool. And yeah, saw a lot of people in the times, the garb of the day. Robershaw says, what about redacted mass injections? Oh. Georgie says, do you plan, or if not, why not do interviews with Styx, Quartering, other YouTubers? Styx, I bet, would love to talk to you with you. I would love to interview Styx. People have suggested that I should reach out to him. I've had the Quartering on my show. Jeremy's fantastic. I would love to have him back. It would be great. Martin says the Daily Beast hit piece on Tim Pool was probably written by the Young Turks in between pole smoking sessions in the neighborhood mosque. Yeah, I mean, I actually have it up right here, and it's I'll, if you guys don't know what it is, it's ridiculous how coward and phony Tim Pool became one of the biggest political YouTubers on the planet. I mean, it is a crazy smear piece that is just chock full of lies. It's insane how much they lie about this. And they keep referencing somebody, an ex-Vice producer. And I know exactly who it is. I know who it is. I know who their source is. And this dude is crazy. All right. You know what? I'm gonna save it for tomorrow. I'm gonna rip this article apart tomorrow because I know Tim more than most people on the internet, and I know who the sources are. I'm gonna rip them apart too because they deserve it, and Tim doesn't deserve this. So tune in tomorrow. I'm going to talk about that because F the Daily Beast. Allison says, get a dehydrator. I was just looking at one. I was just looking at a dehydrator yesterday. Trust me, I'm going to get one. I have like, man, I have so much stuff. I have all the blueberry bush. I have hundreds of blueberry. It's like a field. It's a forest. It's blueberry forest out there, straight up. I have 10 different red currant plants. So I'm going to dehydrate all these things. It's going to be great. Georgie says, one last question. Tim is building a big team. Why not join? Or is this personal? How do I answer this without... I was fired. I was pushed out. I for whatever reasons, I am no longer on his team. It sucks, but whatever. Robert Shaw says, dehydrated fruit chips are amazing. I know. Allison says, you can make a ton of apple chips. Oh yeah, it's on the docket. Robert Shaw says, yeah, back your mates. And F the Young Turks. Yeah, right, they're crazy. Francisco says, 4:20 Pacific time. Pack your bowls, fam. Love you, Adam. Oh, right on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are great. So, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to talk about the Daily Beast because Tim Pool is... They're calling him alt-right, which is ridiculous. I mean, he's a freaking fence-sitter. That's what he's known for. Like, hello? Do you even know Tim at all? Clearly you don't. If you're calling Tim alt-right, like, get out of here with that ridiculousness. I mean... He says he's a fence sitter, but I think he leans more right than being centrist. Just personally. That's what I think. But I'm going to rip this Daily Beast article apart tomorrow because it's absolutely ridiculous. So, all right. Well, thank you guys. Thanks for tuning in. This is my first show back. After, you know, moving into my new house. So welcome to the new spot. This isn't actually where my studio is going to be. I'm going to be building myself a studio. And it's going to be a little while, but, I have an outdoor house, but it's not really a house, but I'm going to make a studio out of it. So I can jam and, you know, be live whenever I want and not have to worry about it. So, it's going to be good. Yep, it's going to be good. Allison says, I grew up in a big private orchard. We had apple chips for the whole year. It was amazing. Get a quarter and a slice or two to make the job easier. Oh yeah, Allison, you know. And I'm on it. Trust me. I got my plans. Sejong says, evictions have started today. Foreclosures are on the dockets. As of this morning, people are not going to be able to prove they were affected by redacted. Yeah, that whole subject also is ridiculous. Yorozuya says, Krigler cider when? Ooh, I like that. Krigler cider. I mean, my apple trees they're not very big and there's only four of them. One actually has a lot of apples on it, that I could probably make mead out of. I meant cider. Yeah, I'm gonna just make cider. That's all. but I love that idea. I should try it. Georgie says, thanks for that answer. I have no idea what happened, mate, but my best time was when you and Tim were on the show together. I really enjoyed how you challenged Tim. Ian can't do that, in my honest opinion. Thank you. I appreciate that. I thought that Tim and I had some fire, and it's a shame. Anyway, that's the past, and I move forward, and here I am living my best life. And I hope you're living yours, and I'll see you guys next time here on The Krigler Show. Good night, everybody.
Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show, coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.